your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that first segment with Jesse Felder. In this segment, I am featuring Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Mike's joined me on a number of occasions, talking broad markets, talking some of the sectors that he is focused on. But we are spending this first hour of the show talking more broad concepts when it comes to investors. And in this segment, we're going to talk a bit more about money printing, money flows, but mostly money printing. Ever since COVID hit, look, all central banks, all governments have just slammed down on the gas pedal, issuing money, trying to get the economy in some sort of stable fashion and trying to get some of that money down to individuals. The U.S., we're stuck a little bit right now in terms of getting anything through the government, but we even heard this week from the Fed minutes that, look, the Fed is willing and ready to inject more money into the system. Mike, give us, first and foremost, a little summary of all the money printing that has happened all on the back of COVID.
Sure. I mean, you know, I've kind of tongue-in-cheek dubbed this the money flood 2021. And the big picture here being that in the wake of the COVID outbreak, we've seen the Federal Reserve print essentially the most money in the shortest amount of time that we've ever seen in the history of this country, even more so than we had in the wake of the great financial crisis back in 07 and 08 and 09. And what's noteworthy, too, is they've rolled out of these all these programs which are buying and backstopping a wide range of assets, everything from municipal debt to junk bond ETFs to corporate debt and investment grade corporate debt and on and on. You know, you get this alphabet soup of programs that are being used to backstop Wall Street. And at first, you also had that accompanied by a large dose of fiscal aid that did actually make its way down to Main Street. Things like stimulus checks of up to $1,200 per household. Things like unemployment added benefits of up to $600 on top of what the states pay here in the U.S. But unfortunately, while the Wall Street aid has continued to come fast and furious, and there's no indication whatsoever that's going to let up, and that money, if anything, there's going to be more coming, which we can talk about in a second, Main Street aid has started to dry up. Those unemployment benefits, extra unemployment benefits, the money funding them has run out. The money behind the stimulus checks, all that money's either been spent or saved by this point. There's no new checks coming out. And because of a combination of two things, mostly squabbling out of the U.S. election, which is coming up, and also the fact that the Fed's money printing and market backstopping has neutered market forcing mechanisms, meaning you don't have extremely turbulent markets, falling stock prices, high volatility and so on, forcing Congress to act and saying, look, we've got to do something to stop this. Because you don't have that due to all the Fed intervention, you're not getting the fiscal intervention. Congress and the Trump administration is just looking at the stock market and saying, well, Main Street doesn't need money. The stock market's doing fine. It's dangerous thinking. It's bad for Main Street. But as long as Wall Street's throwing a party, Main Street's going to continue to get the shaft. It's unfortunate. It's not the way I wish things were. But as investors, you have to invest for the world that you in the market environment that you have in the real world, not the one you want potentially due to your own personal preferences in an ideal world. And that's sort of where things stand. Again, so much money is being thrown at the markets. So much efforts being expended by the Fed in the U.S. and by the ECB and so on overseas to prop up markets and assets that as an investor, you don't want to stand in the way of that. You really have to position yourself to profit from the money flood and just let it carry you along. And that's kind of where we are. You know, what's next? Obviously, the next big catalyst is the election coming up. And there are a couple of ways this thing could break. But either if Trump somehow manages to win and he's down in the polls, or especially if Biden wins and the Democrats sweep in Congress, we're going to see a heck of a lot of additional aid, additional borrowing and spending that's going to go on at all levels of government to try and get the economy up and running. Things like infrastructure, things like tax cuts, things like additional funding, mailing of checks and stimulus money to Main Street and so on. So there's a lot of ways this thing could break. None of what I see, though, is really bad for assets, even if it's not great for Main Street. So again, that's how you have to position yourself in terms of owning assets, which means high quality, dividend paying, secure, highly rated stocks, as well as things like gold, silver, and precious metals miners.
So, Mike, what about how the U.S. election plays out? I think we can both agree that there will be a lot of money printing after the election is over, but does it impact where you think that money will land, depending on if Trump gets in or depending on if Biden and this blue wave actually happens?
Yeah, you're absolutely right that this thing could go in a couple of different ways. I mean, let's be honest, regardless of your other opinions about Trump, a lot of the aid, things like tax cuts and so on, ex-hoarding of the Fed to continue to keep rates low and so on and what have you, all of that, or most of that, has benefited the upper tier, the wealthiest, the one percenters, if you want to use that term, or just people who own assets. And those at the higher end of the income spectrum have disproportionately benefited from the tax cuts and from other things being done to support asset values. If we see a blue sweep, if we see Biden get elected, we see the Democrats take a majority in both sides of Congress, House, and the Senate, and so on, then you would likely see more borrowing and spending being directed towards middle America and towards things like infrastructure and so on. It's a question to me. I mean, whereas a lot of the polling suggests Biden's going to win, it's unclear yet if that's going to persist through Election Day, and it's also unclear if that congressional sweep is going to happen. So a lot of different ways this thing could break. But in any event, I don't see any scenario where you're going to see fiscal responsibility or monetary policy responsibility magically start to happen, right? Nobody's running on a platform of fiscal restraint, or nobody's arguing for the Fed to keep, start raising interest rates sometime before the 2030s and what have you. So that part of it is almost guaranteed to be coming down the pike. It's just a question of who exactly will be the winners and losers. But there will be a lot of money printing either way. So that's what you probably should be positioning for as an investor.
Yeah, fair enough, right? This money printing, it is not going anywhere. If anything, it's only going to pick up steam. And this election in the U.S. and even the election that was just called in B.C. in Canada, where I live, everyone is promising the world. They're promising lower taxes. They're promising all this spending. It's not all going to come to fruition, but that is the trend we are going down. Mike, how important, though, is it to compare what the U.S. might do, either from the Fed or from a government standpoint, compared to the rest of the world, in China, in Europe, in any other country you want to look at?
Well, I think on a monetary stimulus side, the rest of the world is pretty much on the same page as the U.S. Fed. I mean, the ECB, Lagarde over there is talking about potentially cutting rates further into negative territory, buying even more bonds. Here in the U.S., they're starting to float sort of a trial balloon and talking a little bit about doing more QE here. And if they do QE, shift more purchases towards the long end of the yield curve, buy more 10-year, 30-year debt, and so on to suppress long-term interest rates. In Japan, I mean, they've been at it for decades now. So I think from a monetary standpoint, there's no hard money advocates. There's no monetary responsibility. There's no those who worry accurately and correctly about the potential for creating even more asset bubbles, those few voices are being drowned out. So on a monetary side, pretty much everybody's rowing in the same direction. On a fiscal side, in parts of Europe and other places, you actually see a better mix where more aid is being directed at the unemployed. It's being directed at Main Street. Things like, if you have your hours cut, the government will kind of help make up the difference between what you would have earned if you were working a full work week and what you are earning if you're working, two-thirds of a week or half a week or something. So those are the kinds of things that are being more directed at Main Street, and that's the aid that's dropped off the map, so to speak, here in the U.S. Again, we all started with the stimulus checks to Main Street and PPP loans and things like that, but those programs are running out, and you're left with just the candy for Wall Street and for the rich, which is again, is it the way things should be? Not in my opinion. Is it the way things are? Yes. And that's what you have to handle and approach and invest with as an investor.
So are there any certain sectors, markets, ETFs that you are going to be watching most closely to give you a little hint in terms of what sectors will benefit the most?
Sure. I think, you have seen a little mini rotation in the last couple of weeks into a little bit out of the grow at any cost tech type names that were leading the market and into some of the broader based smaller cap stocks, to a certain degree, financials, industrials, things like that. basically, and part of that is the optimism that, you know, Biden's going to win, and he's going to hopefully have a little more control in Congress, and that results in more spending on Main Street, on infrastructure, on things like that. So you have seen a little mini rotation in the last few weeks. It's really, though, going to come down to, you know, how the election results shake out, whether Biden, if he wins, is truly going to get a mandate, a powerful mandate to push things through Congress, or if there's still going to be enough Republican pushback that it really isn't going to, own or control both houses of Congress as well as the presidency. So people are trying to position in advance. But again, if that truly is the case and you aren't pre-positioned for it on, you know, the day after the election, I think that's okay. You might miss the first few percentage points, or you might miss a rotation, or you might miss the first few percentage points in market performance overall. But if this is going to be a quote unquote blue wave, you'll have months and months and quarters to participate. And it should be, you know, it should lead to a little more of that broadening out of the market rally. So I don't think you really want to be jumping the gun yet as an investor. As for other things you can continue to focus on in the Safe Money Report, there are some steady eddy type sectors, higher yielding kind of companies, and things like consumer staples, utilities, even some of the bigger fast food and retail companies that have taken market share from smaller firms. Those are the kinds of names I've been focused on, and I still like them regardless of what happens after the election. And of course, as we've talked before, again, precious metals, the mining sector, still think there's a lot of opportunity there. Still think we're only in the fourth or fifth inning. So I would definitely, regardless of who wins in a few weeks, I would definitely still be looking for opportunity there.
All right. Hey, Mike, great chatting with you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and I think a very good understanding of what is to come in terms of more money printing and where that money should land. It's a different world, a lot of similarities to the money printing that's happened before, but with the economy taking that hit earlier on and still struggling to get back to normal, man, oh man, there's going to need to be a lot of money printed just to even bandage some of those holes and some of those businesses that really took a beating. Mike, thanks for your time
100%.
Today, buddy. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.